So we keep today the feast of a very mysterious woman, Mary Magdalene. And even asking the question, who is she, opens up a whole can of worms. So let's start with her name, Mary of Magdala, which would normally indicate the place where she came from. But already the mystery begins. Where is Magdala? It could be Magdala Gadar, which is in the land between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. Or it could more likely be Magdala Nenea, which is further north on the western shore of Galilee. There's even a Magdala in Ethiopia. But then again, maybe Magdala has nothing to do with the locale. Magdala in Hebrew means great, or magnificent, or even tower. The fact is that the Gospels have very little to say about her before the events of Holy Week. In Mark and Luke's Gospel, we read that Mary Magdalene was a woman from whom Jesus cast seven demons out. And it's during the events of Holy Week that she takes on a larger role. She is amongst the witnesses of our Lord's crucifixion. She is present at the burial of his body, and she is the first witness of the resurrection, as we've just heard in the Gospel. The Eastern Church gives her the title equal to the apostles, and the Western Church gives her the title apostle to the apostles, because she was the first witness to the resurrection. And then we have the mystery of our Lord's decision to appear first to her, because women at that time were not considered credible witnesses under the Jewish law. And maybe that's why Paul, the recovering Pharisee, does not mention her in her list of resurrection appearances. He only mentions that the risen Christ appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And then in the Western Church, at least, we have the identification of Mary Magdalene with the reformed harlot who wiped Jesus' feet with fragrant ointment in the house of Simon the Pharisee. And you have to admit, there's a sort of satisfying parallel between the woman who anoints Jesus' feet while he's alive and then later anoints his body when he's dead. And so, because of the fact that she was associated with women of ill repute, Mary Magdalene's name was appropriated by so-called Magdalene asylums or Magdalene laundries in places like Ireland, where fallen women were sent to learn a trade and be rehabilitated, but were in fact deplorable, evil workhouses. So anyway, after this report of the resurrection, Mary Magdalene disappears from the New Testament. She's not mentioned at all in the book of Acts. According to pious tradition, she either went to Ephesus or, a little bit more unrealistically, to the south of France. And I can say that I have actually seen what purports to be her skull in a basilica in Provence. And then if you read the Dan Brown novels, she's lying under the Louvre or something like that. It's all very interesting. It's all very mysterious. But what are we to do with it? Well, perhaps we can make sense of the Magdalene by way of a verse from the epistle. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, behold, the new is here. Now, when Mary Magdalene met Jesus, either as a woman from whom demons were cast out, or as a harlot, or as a woman on the Easter morning, the common thread among all those stories is that by meeting Jesus, her life was changed forever. And Jesus will have that effect on you if you allow him. And I want to illustrate that with a story. There was a rather famous American Pentecostal preacher by the name of Judson Corwall, who after the Second World War was invited to speak at a conference in Germany. And the invitation haunted him for days. He kept throwing it into the trash, and his wife kept picking it out and smoothing it out and putting back on his desk. And after a great deal of prayer, he reluctantly agreed to go. Now, arriving in Germany in early 1947, he was not relieved because the conference center turned out to be a former barracks of Hitler's hated SS, which aroused all sorts of images and old hatreds in him. And he spent 2 days before the conference fasting and preparing and avoiding the Germans. On the first night of the conference, he went down to speak and he took umbrage at his translator, a somewhat stereotypical Aryan Uberfrau, giant, buxom, with her hair in a bun, and he spat out his sermon in anger. And it was no surprise that it was badly delivered and badly received. So he returned to his room, and he decided that he was going to go back to America. And full of humiliation and emotion, he cried himself to sleep. Now, sometime during the night, Cornwall awoke to sort of demonic voices screaming in his mind, "You don't belong here. You have no authority here. Go home." And he recognized that this was indeed a spiritual attack, and perhaps it had to do with the demonic history of the building. 3 times those voices awoke him. 3 times he rebuked them. And after the 3rd time he got up, and he asked God what was happening and why his prayers weren't sufficient, why these voices kept returning. And in his mind, he had a sense that God was speaking to him. "The demons are tormenting you because you don't have any authority here. And you have no authority here because you don't love these people. Now, you can go on hating these people, pack up and go home, or you can let me love them through you." Cornwall acknowledged his deep prejudice. Too embarrassed to go back to America, he asked God to love through him the Germans whom he loathed. And he knew that he needed some sort of miracle of grace. So having spent 2 days avoiding the Germans, refusing to eat with them, he couldn't wait for breakfast. He rushed downstairs to the queue for breakfast and greeted and hugged everyone in the food line. Then he got to his translator and he gave her a big hug and a big kiss, and she pushed back and said, "You hate us." He said, "Oh no, that was yesterday. Today, I love you." Ultimately, the Christian life is about transformation. God loves you exactly as you are, but he wants to transform you. And we can follow the example of Mary Magdalene, who was transformed from sinner to saint, or who was transformed from one possessed by evil to one whom God possesses, or who is transformed from grief and sadness to resurrection joy. And the lesson of Mary Magdalene is that no one is too bad, too sad, or too sin-sick for the grace of God. A saint is simply someone who has set himself, set herself apart to follow God. And God will guide us if we allow him to do so. And yes, it really is that simple. So on this feast of St. Mary Magdalene, may I challenge you to not say that I am who I am. I'm a finished product, because none of us are a finished product. Instead, we ought to be allowing God to change us into the person he wants us to be, and pray that God will change us into the person he wants us to be. Because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new is here.